It's Steve-O from the 4i Radio Network, and I'm here to talk to you about RevengeLover.com. It's a great place to get logos, sponsors, artwork, t-shirts, anything and everything you need artwork design-wise. This is the place to go. You go to RevengeLover.com, you can check out samples, go ahead and get inquiries, and find something that's pretty much fits you. Or even get, you know, some commission-based stuff done. So again, go to www.RevengeLover.com.
Hey, this is Mike and Tom from Ballpark Bros.
You're listening to another great show on the 4-Eyed Radio Network. Check us all out on 4eyedradio.com.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Not Another B-Horrorcast. I'm Steve-O.
And I'm Anna.
And you can find us on 4iRadio.com, Facebook, Twitter, Spreaker, iTunes, Stitcher, Zune Marketplace, BlackBerry Podcast, Blueberry Podcast, Mirror Guide, Double Twist, YouTube, Swell Radio, Player FM, and now Google Play Music. And of course, if you're doing any shopping coming up, especially I guess the next holiday, which will be our favorite holiday, Halloween. I know it's a way away, but sometimes you want to, I have to buy some stuff for my costume next month, actually, which, well, hopefully a picture is this year or whatnot, but, yeah, so, you can go to Amazon.com, but you don't go to Amazon, you go to the Sasquatch.net, and you click on that Amazon banner and shop like you normally do. We'll get a little taste if you do. And, of course, if you want to contact us, you can go to, find us on the email and send it to us. We did get a listener sent in an email, so you can get your stuff read on air if you send us email, kids. Just go to just email us at notanotherbhorrorcast@gmail.com. Also, don't forget to give our Facebook page a like. You go to facebook.com/notanotherbhorrorcast. And also, don't forget to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at bhorrorcast. Whew. Okay, now that all that stuff is out of the way, because I don't like to bore people with all the, you got to hit your sponsors. Yeah, we have to hit our sponsors. It's the only way I can keep the lights on in the studio. Where I work, I don't get paid much.
Really?
I would like to turn this into a full-time gig, kid. So if that was the case, yeah, go ahead and help us out. I mean, Amazon.com doesn't hurt you, doesn't take any more money from you. Go to the Sasquatch.net and click on that Amazon banner. But, yeah, so last week, if you guys listened, if you haven't listened, and I recommend you listen to the show because apparently it was really good. I don't think I was that great on it, but, of course, our lovely guests and friends of the show, Geeks Who Eat, Sarah and her husband, Matthew Stubbs, were on the show. They made delicious drinks. I took pictures, posted that on our Instagram page, so you can check that out. Yeah, see how we did that. But, yeah, we were able to go see the Annabelle Creation?
Yes, Annabelle Creation.
Which is the prequel to Annabelle. Honestly, listen to the show. I liked the show. It was a really fun show, and we talked about it. And, of course, we got a great cool hashtag out of it, Dumb Butler. So,
hashtag Dumb Butler.
But, of course, if you're listening to this, this is on a Thursday, unless you listen to it later. But if you are listening to this on a Thursday and you're like, I really enjoyed last week's episode with Geeks Who Eat, I know what you're thinking. You're like, why are you blowing our guests so much, Steve? You rarely do this.
You rarely blow anybody except for Matthew.
Hey, once you go black, you don't go back.
That's true. Anyways,
Patrick's very disappointed with that, by the way. Well, he's like, where's my blowjobs?
You're like, on life is shit.
I know the show really took off the rails, but anyways, yeah. So, Sarah and Matthew will be joining Matthew Renfro, Froyo, on SAS this week. So tune in for that live show. If you're listening to this Thursday, the live show will be on Friday. If you don't catch it, you can download it if you like. But that would be on an all new Socially Awkward. Now that I'm done blowing the other shows that I'm on, do we need to take a? Yeah, I'm going to pause it real quick because we had a malfunction. So, and I'm not editing this. So. I love gremlins in the studio. Anyways, that actually would be a great segue if we were at that part of the show, but we're not. So anyways, so we are back with a brand new episode. We did watch a movie this week, so like we always like to do, I like to tell you the movie, or if you've seen the title of the show, you'll know what movie you watch. Just in case you haven't seen the movie, our reviews are at the end of the show. We'll give you a little bit of a spoiler. and then we'll go into the movie review. So if you want to listen to everything else up until that show and you haven't seen that movie yet, it is The Zodiac, or I think it's just Zodiac.
I believe it's just Zodiac.
It came out in 2007. A lot of people in this movie. Mark Ruffalo, Robert Downey Jr., Jake Gyllenhaal. It's so weird that I almost forgot his name because that's the person people said I look like.
Oh, yeah. When I was skinny.
Not now when I'm fat and bloated. Now I look like Jake Gyllenhaal if he just gave up on life. So he gave up on life and decided to start a small podcasting network in Tempe, Arizona. And
my first thought when I saw you was Tobey Maguire.
See, I heard that before, too. And then I also heard the kid.
I think it's the eyes.
The kid who played fucking Anakin Skywalker. Ugh.
Hayden Christensen?
Yeah, I've heard that one. So I'm just like, oh, all people who didn't do much.
Well, great. I think it's all people who have, the really big blue eyes.
I don't have big eyes. I just have blue eyes.
You have big blue eyes.
But,
they're huge. Anyway.
I'm not a fucking anime character, because if I was, I'd be either the squid raping Chinese women or, no, actually
being
Japanese
raped.
Women, or being raped by Seth Squid. And I will say this right now. I don't condone any of that. So don't people think that I'm a raping weird squid monster thing from Japan.
Darn.
But yeah, so we had a little bit of snafu. That's why there was a pause. I decided not to edit it. So if you're wondering what that mystery was, that's the mystery. But before we dive into it, that's what I was saying. Yeah, so Sarah and Matthew will be on Socially Awkward. Already said that. Blew myself. Blah blah blah. I'm retracing all my steps because I really have no idea where we're going. That is where we're going. So now that that's all out of the way, and I've wasted more of your time.
It's all right.
How much time can I waste? Let's pull a Billy Joel like you did at the Oscars.
Can we not?
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
No.
See? Then don't say can we not and then not know what I'm talking about. Anybody who gets that Billy Joel reference that I'm talking about, go ahead and tweet me at Not Another Bee Horrorcast and let me know what it was. And if you do,
at Bee Horrorcast.
At Bee Horrorcast. Oh, yeah. Someone who doesn't even use the Twitter's like, hey, get it right.
Hey, I know what our Twitter handle is. I just don't use Twitter.
Go ahead and hit me up with that. And you know what? You might win a prize. I threw might in there because I'm
poor.
No, I was gonna say little inebriated right now. Already have about two and a half beers.
A prize. I'm sure I can find something in my house to give to them.
Working on a third beer, centered myself. So yeah, this is gonna be an interesting episode. But anyways, yes, we watched Zodiac. That's what I was talking about. But and no help from Anna. Thank you. Watching Zodiac. So if you haven't seen the movie.
We're gonna do some news.
We're gonna do our news and everything beforehand. We'll talk about Zodiac. So that's at the end of the movie. But if you haven't watched the movie, you want to check it out. It is on Netflix. So if you don't feel like spending any money on it, except for the $7.99 that you're already spending on the Netflix, actually it's probably $9.99. It's probably went up. I'm so old right now. You know, there's kids these days who are all like, "When was it $7.99?"
I
know my kids
it was
are
like $5.99.
I don't remember kids ever sounding like that. So
they all sound like old people.
Back in my day, which was yesterday, because I'm a fetus. I don't know. But we will talk about some news and some eerie news of the week. Kind of a slow news thing. I know things are building. I will give you guys this. We did. I will be receiving a copy of the original It movie this week, so we'll have to sit down with Matthew from Socially Awkward on the Fro Show. We'll sit down and do that. I'm debating. We'll probably do a commentary. I think we'll do a commentary track with it because it'll be interesting. Because I don't know if you've. I don't think you said you haven't seen the original It.
I have not.
And then I don't know if Matthew has. So it'll be kind of an interesting kind of dynamic. So it will be a long podcast. I'm debating on we'll record it in one setting, but I'm debating on cutting it.
Yeah, I vote splitting it in two.
I might have to cut it because it is a 3-hour movie.
I think we should probably cut it right where it splits from part one to part two with where it split in the TV movie.
That's a good idea. So if people still have it on VHS and want to do a video commentary.
Why not?
You know what? I give props to somebody who can actually do that with a VHS because with everything being so instant, you're just and it starts, but a VHS was
you have to put it in, wait for it to play, hit play, wait for the FBI thing to go away, and then at the end of it, you had to rewind it, then eject it, and then put it back. And it usually took 10 minutes to rewind, and you had to rewind a couple more times just to get it to the actual beginning of the tape. Sorry, I'm rambling. Anyways.
Yeah, I don't really know where your story was going. I was just talking about if anybody did a commentary track with VHSs. That must have been remarkable. But yeah, so before we dive into the show and everything, Anna, how was your week? let the listeners know, because they all like our weeks, apparently.
My week was okay. I'm trying to remember what I did this past week. I actually had a friend of mine talking to me earlier today, and she mentioned that her mind is either a steel trap or Swiss cheese. So I think mine is just Swiss cheese at this point. Yeah, I can't remember anything that I did this week other than just... Oh! I started watching Luke Cage, finally.
Finally? It's only been out for almost a year.
I know. Well, because I was going to watch it, and then I never got around to it, and then I just kept forgetting about it.
It's all good, yeah, because, of course, we'll probably be talking about it on Longbox Cast, but Defenders drops this week. I know this has nothing to do with horror, but, yeah, so I'm brutally punishing myself and watching...
The Punisher?
No, I
wish it was The Punisher.
Honestly... I'd rather watch the two Punisher movies. Fuck, I'd rather watch the Dolph Lundgren fucking Punisher movie.
Wow.
Than push myself to watch Iron Fist. And I'm sorry, like, I have nothing against everybody who's involved in the show. I just feel like whoever fucking decided this is the way to go with the story...
You should be fired.
I think he was fired, because I think they have a new they have a new showrunner for season two.
That's a relief.
I'll put it this way: if you love board meetings, this is the show for you.
It's like Law and Order if you took out the first half of the show.
No,
even that interesting.
I would put it this way: I fucking love Law and Order. If this was like Law and Order, oh, there's a murder. We have these. And they do all the things. And then there's the quote-unquote, you know, board meeting, which is just the trial and stuff like that. I fucking love that shit. Oh, really? My God. Yeah. Oh, like.
That
All fucking day. Fucking Law and Order, SV fucking U, like BD fucking Wong shit. Yeah.
I never saw SVU. I saw the original.
I'll put it this way. SVU is, yeah, there's a lot of rape, a lot of penis cutting, a lot of fucking
Wait,
sex.
What?
Oh, yeah. There was what was one episode? I think it opened up with all, like, what was it? It was like man tied to – it was a dead body tied to a tree, and they're like, why did it become a sex crime? The man was shot twice in the, you know, the head or something like that. It's like, nope, but his penis was chopped off and mutilated. You're just like, fucking what?
Wow.
So you'd be dragged into the show then, like, okay, well, okay, I understand shooting the guy if he fucking pissed you off, but like you mutilated like his penis? Like,
damn.
Shit.
Yeah, the only thing that I ever saw – with SVU was they were in the court and they were talking about how they were trying to like make a defense for a kid or something, and they were saying that the kid got the idea from this comic book called Rape Man. I was like,
okay, first off, back up. What? There's a comic book called Rape Man? I'm pretty sure.
Rape Man, yeah. And I think
pretty
it was
sure
like,
it's probably not real. It's probably just made up for the show.
Yeah, probably. But if it was real, it would probably be in Japan.
I'm just saying, with all the superhero movies getting bought up.
Hell yeah.
Just to see a billboard that says, coming soon, Rape Man, I would just be like, is that... I don't even care if the movie gets made. I'm just like, just to get a picture of that, I'd be like, oh my God. Can I have the billboard
coming
when you're
soon
done?
To Netflix. Rape Man.
Yeah, but it's spelled C-U-M-M-I-N-G. I guarantee it's probably on Pornhub right now. Like, I'm all thinking about million-dollar idea. I literally, right after the show, and I'll let you guys know on Socially Awkward, I'll literally just Google
it on Pornhub or RedTube.
And you'll find it. You'll be like, oh, shit, Rape Man. There he is. But, yeah, so, yeah, no, but, yeah, Iron Fist is really hard to get through, even being centered. I honestly finished two episodes, and I was like, all right, cool.
Halfway through.
I literally thought that, and then the next episode's like, episode three, and I was like, no! I felt like Darth Vader at the end of fucking episode three. No! But I did create, I know we're off on a tangent already, kids. We are running on naked tracks. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, go check out the latest Life is Shit. Because I found out some shit about my buddy's dad, and I was like, fucking what? But we're going down some naked tracks right now, kids. What was you saying? Iron Fist?
Yeah.
We were talking about that. Yeah, like, oh my God. Like, I centered myself, and I'm just like, it is brutal. I feel like I'm getting fisted by the Iron Fist when I watch the show.
I was about to make that joke, damn it.
So I got to be a little bit quicker. But yeah, we'll talk about Defenders and stuff like that on Longbox Cast. And then we'll probably talk about this on Longbox Cast because I'm obsessed with it. But no one has really fed my obsession with it. So I might be talking to a buddy of mine, Joe. And I might be like, hey, can you fit another podcast in your schedule? Because I want to start a Rick and Morty podcast.
Heck yeah.
Because every time I try to talk about Rick and Morty, people enjoy it. They chit chat with me for a little bit, but no one wants to dive in. No one wants to
dive on in.
That's a American Dad reference. I know. And we're not going back to Australia because I remember the couple of weeks ago show was fucking brutal. I'm Hugh Jackman, and I like to go to Outback Steakhouse and fuck your lovers. And that's why we're Satanists. Eat
so
Outback.
Dive on into Rick and Morty.
I'm gonna dive right into your vagina. I don't even know how to say it.
In Rick and Morty.
Speaking of Hugh Jackman, when I went up to the cabin, we are all over the place. Up at the cabin a couple of weeks back, The Prestige was on. Really fucking good movie.
I love that movie.
Great movie. But yeah, back to everything else. So yeah, I'm trying to think. So nothing really happened with your week? Nothing.
And unless you're remembering something which I am not,
I'm not gonna say names, I'm not gonna mention people, but two people we did hang out with, I assume are now racist, so that's kinda weird.
Yeah, that was interesting.
That was a fun fact to find out. So
yeah, fantastic. But anyway,
so I'm just gonna say this, racism is bad.
Really?
Don't do it.
I had no idea by the
all you and all you and all you and all you neo-Nazis who listen to this podcast, don't. Because I don't want that. Go fuck yourself. I don't even care. Literally, if our numbers drop tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't care. And it's because of that. I really
and it's
don't
like
give
two
a
people who listen, and the majority of our fans were fucking neo-Nazis. Go fuck yourself. Good. Yeah. Good.
Agreed.
I'd rather not have that. But yeah, so we got a little political. We got a little thing. Let's see. My week was okay. I'm trying to think. It was a weird week. I was very tired. No, that was last week.
Yeah.
Nothing really happened this week, I guess. It's
been very...
I got gas.
Literally or figuratively?
No, like I went. I had to go get gas. I'm literally like nothing's gonna happen until this weekend, I think. So I won't have a story until next week, maybe.
This week has been kind of boring, which is actually kind of nice because I feel like the past few weeks have just been like so ridiculously busy.
I don't even know if I want to call it boring. I think I want to call it. Because I've never experienced this, because I don't know if anyone's experienced, but I think I want to call it this. This might be possibly what they call a normal week.
Oh, that's true. For some reason, that just made me think of a line in iRobot that Will Smith says.
What?
He said the woman like that he was talking to asks him if he ever had a normal day, and he goes, once, it was a Thursday. And it just kind of stuck out into my mind that like there's you literally just have one day where it's just like considered normal, and it just sticks out in your mind because your entire life is so whacked out. Anyways,
but yeah, so
I digress.
So yeah, I'm starting to believe.
I'm really good at diving down rabbit holes.
No, you're fine. I was just honestly, this whole week's been kind of normal. So at least if you're listening to this on Thursday, tomorrow's Friday, so props to that. Hopefully it's a payday Friday. That's always a plus. But I guess we're just going to dive into some stuff. So we do got some eerie news of the week. I found one story, but I wasn't going to use it. I will talk about it, though, for a little brief minute, but I just thought it was funny. But without further ado, kids, it is time for eerie news of the week.
It is time for eerie news of the week.
Okay, so I went to, I haven't been to the website and Facebook page in a while. I do follow them, but Coast to Coast is where I got this story. But the first story I found was, it was talking about a metal starfish.
Okay.
So I pulled up the news thing and I was watching it, and to me I was just like, how is this fucking anything? This mysterious, they're calling it the metal starfish, but apparently this metal object was just in the beach grounds or something like that, this thing. And it looks like it's an anchor to like maybe like not like a ship or anything like that, but like an anchor where something would go into and they would use it for, I don't know, like checking waves or water or ocean activity, or, you know, maybe a camera goes
like
there.
Like related
or
to a boy or something.
I was like, related to a boy. I'm like,
I've only read that word. I've never really said that word before. So
B-U-O-Y. Yeah, buoy. Well, buoys are usually more out into the ocean. This thing was like closer to shore. It was just this metal thing, but they're calling it metal starfish. And I'm just like, okay, this is. I almost added it to the shore notes because to me, when you say metal starfish,
I'm thinking of rusty starfish.
I was thinking of like it was a moving thing, like it was like moving or whatnot, and then they show you it's like no, this is just a metal object. Don't fucking give it a name because it looks like a creature that came from the fucking ocean.
So it's literally just ocean junk.
Yeah, basically. But that's but that wouldn't guess what if it was called ocean junk, I wouldn't have clicked on the link.
This is true.
So this is true. So kudos to them for that. But yeah, it was just kind of
kudos to them for creating clickbait.
Okay, but this is a weird thing. I know this is probably also clickbait too. So nothing too weird and crazy going on so far in the world or whatnot. But this is the newest story that I found. But dogs turning blue in India.
Huh.
Oh, you know what? I should probably do this as an actual like newscaster. Thank you, John with Sports. All right, so this is kind of weird. This is kind of wacky, and this is also in a different country. But yes, dogs turning blue in India. Let's find out.
Okay.
I could do a fucking newscaster. Fucking hire me at Fox News. I can do good at that. Yes, Donald Trump is the best. No, I'm just kidding. What do you say? Do you say I was the best? If you didn't say, well, that's fake news. I don't care. Everything's fake. This is, you know what? This dog, this India dog, he's probably fake news. But in Mumbai, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce everything, but India, a suburb, some stray dogs are turning blue. It may be due to an untreated, a waste dumping thing. So don't bury the lead. That's probably what it is. It's shocking to see dogs with white fur has turned completely blue, said not pronouncing that name. Sorry, bro. It's around a website that's more popular than us, so don't worry about it. So it's probably just toxic waste, but...
it says blue dye is used at a nearby treatment plant for making detergent, and I'm sure it's dumping into the river. So that's most likely it's just because the dogs are swimming in the river looking for food.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Especially, so what you're saying, Anna, is the news is total bullshit. Okay.
Is the news is making
us
blue.
No, see, you're trying to do a newscaster guy.
Oh, sorry. Should I just talk like a total blonde girl?
No, you don't talk like a total blonde girl. Like, they have, like, a certain, like, voice. Like even...
Well,
even
every time you talk as a reporter, you have to put your voice in this way.
Well, it was funny because when I watched that first story, the metal starfish, things are happening at the beach. We have more with, you know, Tisha Takashukina or something like that was like her. She was an Asian woman. And she goes to her and you're like, all right, give me the Asian. And she's all like, that's right. Today and the ocean. And you're like, bull fucking shit. Family Guy knows how to give it to us straight.
They just dubbed over her voice. They're just like, yeah, we're not even going to try.
Again, I'm 3 beers in, kids. Okay, but we're going to move on. That was the only eerie news of the week. Hopefully our one listener actually is laughing this week. If she's like, you guys hit her peak and you're done, then I'm like, fuck.
Then we're fucked.
We're fucked.
So I apologize to the few listeners that actually let us know that you're listening.
I'm going to let you guys in on a secret. This is why I do so many podcasts, because when most of them fail, I still have podcasts.
Oh, I thought you were going to say I still have pot.
No, I will always have that. But now you made me have to fucking edit that.
Anyways.
But we're going to move on to the horror news of the week.
Yeah.
It's time for horror news.
All right, so this is weird. So we've been hearing about this for a while now. I believe actually when we first watched Gremlins and did our movie review of that, probably the first Christmas the podcast came out. So it's probably 2015?
Yeah.
Because I believe our podcast started that October. So it's probably like one of the first early episodes. It's probably going to be, I'm going to say, either 5 or 6.
It's going to be somewhere between 5 and 8, I believe.
So, so apparently, right when we did our podcast about the movie review of the movie Gremlins, apparently, Gremlins 3 has been in talks. People want to come back. They want to play their characters. They want to take place where the second movie pretty much took off, a little bit older and stuff like that. But it looks like Dark Gremlins 3 script ponders the murder of Gizmo.
Oh.
And I'm like, okay, are we trying to do like a BB-8 thing? And not so much like what I mean by BB-8 was like, you know, they showed BB-8. He's kind of like the new R2. You know, a lot of people are either like, no, give me my R2 and stuff like that. But he came out of the movie. He was phenomenal. Everything's great. Now, are we trying to pass on, like, the torch of Gremlins to a younger Mogwai? Which doesn't make sense because the Mogwai is a fucking puppet and doesn't exist. So Gizmo can pretty much just stay the same, you know, probably with a little bit better technology of the puppeteering and stuff. I don't CGI that shit. I will say that. Unless you're doing Gremlins, like, they have to do a feat that is unconceivable with puppets. Then you CGI, but don't fucking CGI. Use a fucking puppet. Get fucking what's-his-face back.
Oh, yeah, he said minimal CGI. So they'll basically remove the wires and make the puppeteers' lives a little bit easier, but essentially they're still going to be using the puppets. They're just getting rid of the wires.
But yeah, I just think it's weird if they're thinking about killing off of Gizmo.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, that's like the staple point of, you know, Gremlins.
Yeah, I call bullshit on that. Like, fuck my brain shit. Gizmo, there we go. My brain just literally shut off.
Brain light.
Yeah. Yeah, Gizmo has done nothing wrong. All he did was his asshole owner in the first one got him wet and fed his offspring after midnight. Gizmo saved him in the first movie.
No.
By driving the little car around.
No, that's the thing. He did not actually feed them after midnight. He was tricked into...
He did feed them after midnight.
Yeah, he was tricked into it. But he made it sound like he was like, no, I'm just going to feed him after midnight. Who cares about this thing? No, the gremlins, the other Mogwais that were created from Gizmo after the water spilt on him and stuff like that, they went ahead and changed the clocks. So it looked like it was earlier. So then he's like, oh, let me take him downstairs.
But yeah, that's not on Gizmo. That's not Gizmo's fault because he even offered Gizmo food and Gizmo said no.
No, yeah, Gizmo was like, no, but he can't control the acts of his offspring. Oh,
I know. That's why I think it's stupid that they're trying to kill him. Yeah, because Gizmo's adorable and he's my favorite little Mogwai except for the gremlin that was playing cards. That one was awesome.
Yeah, and
it's like smoking a cigarette.
Well, no, the other gremlins did not. Technically, in the first Gremlins movie, there was Gizmo and then there was Stripe.
Yeah. Stripe was badass.
Stripe, yeah. And which was voiced by Frank Welker, I believe. And I'm trying to remember the voice of Gizmo. It's a comedian. Howard, I believe, is his last name.
Ron?
No, it's not Ron Howard.
One second.
Did Bobby's World? I can't believe I'm drawing a blank. I can see his face. He did like Deal, No Deal, and he's doing the American's Got Talent right now. I can see his fucking face. I see his bald head, his little goatee.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Howie Mandel.
Howie Mandel. Damn it. Yeah, he was the voice of Gizmo. So I want him to come back and do that again. But yeah, no. So I think it's probably just, like I said, clickbait and everything like that. So this story here, though, this new story we're going to go off to, is actually interesting. So it's a movie I've never seen. So Robert Eggers, if you saw it last year, I believe it came out early last year too. I think it was like a February movie in 2016. Yeah. He did the movie Witch or however you want to pronounce it, but a really good movie. I believe it's on Netflix still. We should probably check that out because I don't want to, but he is, I have no idea about this. No idea about this. So I don't even know. So anybody, if you actually know this, please write in on the Twitter, the email and stuff like that. Please write in. Let me know because I want to know. Has there ever been a remake? A remake. Not like a story based off
not
of.
Not a spinoff.
No,
I
wasn't going to say a spinoff, but like a story based off of a character and they went in a different direction. But has there ever been a remake of Nosferatu? Because this is what the director, Robert Eggers, is going to be doing next, is a remake of Nosferatu. Now, this movie came out.
30s?
Fucking 30s or the early, 20s? Late 20s or some shit like that. Fucking old vampire movie. The reason why they called it
1922.
Yeah, 1922. The reason why they called it Nosferatu and not Dracula is because Universal was already in production of making or had the rights to the name Dracula at that time, so they had to go with I believe the German version of it, Nosferatu. I could be wrong again. Again, so people write in. Let me know. Let me learn. Like, I don't even care if you're like, you're a fucking idiot. You don't know shit. I'm fine with those emails. Just give me the correct information.
It does say that according to the 1922 silent movie, Count Orlok of Transylvania wants to buy a house in Germany and becomes enamored with the real estate agent's wife. So it probably follows better that they named it after the German Dracula title, which is just Nosferatu.
So I'm kind of excited for that. I think that's kind of cool. I remember watching the original, you know, silent film and everything like that, and it's still creepy. It holds up. Like, best bet to do, like, if you can find that shit on DVD or whatnot, or like streaming or whatnot, like, literally turn off all the lights, just put it on, get some popcorn, and that's a good fucking night.
So this is going to be a bit of a rabbit hole for me, but my sister did. I've never seen Nosferatu, but my sister Rachel did, because she actually had a cinematography class. And she watched this movie in her cinematography class, and she said the reason why this was creepy is because of the use of the shadows in the movie.
Yes.
So this is a movie that I have wanted to see for a very long time, and I just have not been able to see it yet.
Actually, really, also a really good film, if you can find it anywhere or whatnot, is actually Thomas Edison's Frankenstein.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's. I feel like there's something that was lost whenever we went to color. Because when we go to color, now, like, you kind of get, like, the shadows become more defined. And instead of just being black or being gray, like, they have these, like, depths to them. And it just, it's not as creepy.
So, do you think the man with the new remake of Nosferatu, do you think he goes with a black and white movie? Or does he go with a color, but he does, like, a lot of, like, just dark shadow? You know what would actually be really cool? If you were to take the same film knowledge that the people did to use Nosferatu, like, take all that and then put it into the new, like, kind of
put
like
it into
stuff,
like a colored
film
setting.
It exactly like how it was and everything, that with the same lighting techniques and all that kind of stuff. I wonder how that would turn out.
That would be interesting. I feel like if you try to use the same lighting, though, it would not have as nearly as good of an effect. But I hope that they do it in black and white, or at least do it, like, with toned down colors, because I feel like whenever you do, like, if you're doing homage to a film, like, especially an old one that's from 1922, like, fucking hell, it's almost 100 years old now.
Yeah.
Like, give it its due, and give it, like, due diligence in whenever you're filming it, like, use some of the same... You're right. Use some of the same shots. Use some of the same, like, techniques that they use. Maybe not necessary. Maybe, like, with, like, while you're filming, use the actual, like, the updated versions of, especially because, like, since it's in color, you're going to see some things in color that you wouldn't have seen in black and white. But still, you can still film it in the same style and use some of the same, like, angles and stuff like that and get a similar effect. But that's one of the reasons why I love the birds so much, is because it, even though it's a black and white film, like, it has no music in it, it has, like, some of the creepiest scenes simply because a lot of it relies on what you don't see. Because there's a scene where, like, my favorite scene in that movie is whenever the girl is just sitting on the swing set, or, like, the play set outside, and she's smoking a cigarette, and you just hear wings flapping. And then it shoots over to the like where the birds are sitting, and there's more birds, and it shows her smoking a cigarette again, and you hear wings flapping, and it shoots back, and there's more birds. Like, it's just super, super creepy. Like, number one, building suspense, and number two, what you're not seeing is what's really intimidating.
Yeah, so I mean, it's all about how you film things like that. But yeah, I'm
James Wan. He does a fantastic job of that.
Yeah,
phenomenal director.
Phenomenal stuff.
Anyways, sorry. Like I said, it was a rabbit hole.
No, but you're good. But yeah, no. Joe, I'm super pumped. I think that's awesome, because I'm all like, wow, I don't remember the last. I don't think anybody's made a.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. I want to see what they do with it.
So it makes me curious, because I do want to see Witch before I see this movie, just to get a feel for the director and all that kind of good stuff and things like that. But speaking of this, you know, Halloween coming up and everything like that. So this year, Spirit Halloween is actually debuting a It mask.
Ooh.
Now, the mask looks pretty good, pretty decent, so that it's probably going to be worth almost like, it's probably going to cost like 50-something bucks or something like that.
That actually is pretty creepy.
But, honestly, if you're going to do the new It this Halloween, I say just face paint it. I think there's nothing creepier than actual, like when you do a clown, like, actual mask, I don't really find it creepy, but if you put on the clown makeup and everything like that and do something with it, like, you can make it freaking,
intimidating. Especially because whenever you talk, like, it's your actual mouth moving.
Yeah, kind of thing. So it's creepier and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, the mask looks pretty cool and everything like that. I mean, it's a well-designed. I don't know if that's going to be the official mask because, obviously, you'll see that on the box. And then you're like, oh, this is not what I'm buying because they have a tendency to do that. But speaking of reboots and everything that as well, I was talking about the Nosferatu remake. Of course, we have Hellboy reboot has been in the works. Of course, the man from Stranger Things who played the sheriff and was also in Suicide Squad, he has been casted as Hellboy. I remember a picture a while back where he was getting his arm casted for the fist and everything like that. But of course, another person has been named to the film. And this is the weirdest part. Weirdest part is when she was casted, they actually gave you a title of the Hellboy movie, which I didn't even know was released yet. But the movie is called Hellboy: Rise of the Blood Queen. Right off the bat, I'm like, fuck yeah, that sounds amazing. But it looks like who they casted as the Blood Queen is going to be Mila Jovovich, if I pronounced that correctly. I'm not sure.
I think so.
Okay, so Mila Jovovich. We've already seen her as the hero, not only in The Fifth Element, but also in all the Resident Evil movies and stuff like that. So it'll be very interesting to see her turn into a villain, which honestly...
Has she played a villain before?
I don't know. So don't no one quote me on this. I don't know. She might have, but I'm pretty sure she's just been in the hero role for the last... couple of, you know, movies, or last couple of movies, all the movies she's fucking
been in
and shit like that.
That will be interesting then. Yeah, because I was just thinking about it. I was like, I don't think I've ever seen her play the villain role. I feel like she'll be able to pull it off.
Yeah.
Because she has, like, she kind of has the Sigourney Weaver presence on screen where it's just kind of like you never, like, you feel like you can never be too sure that she's entirely on the right side. So that should be interesting.
Should be very interesting. Sorry. First time I'm doing like a show and like actual something like kind of I'm just gonna call it business related. I was like, oh, okay, but I will talk. I'm not gonna say anything yet because this is something in progress right now. But very very cool and everything.
I gotcha.
That. But yeah, but of course also that we're also getting TV news is also the X-Files we heard is coming back.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like a lot of the episodes are going to be kind of standalone episodes where it's not really they're trying to do an arc this time because they probably don't know how many – they'll probably get maybe like a 10-episode run again like they did last time.
Oh, gotcha. They're not going to try to make an overall arc this time.
I think what they're going to do is because probably the best episode in the new season that came back was the one that was almost like an X-File where like Mulder was saying like this is fake, that's fake, this has been, you know, debunked, everything's been debunked and all that kind of stuff. It was a really great episode. I believe it's with the wizard person. So and everything that where the lizard guy like turned into a human and he was trying to figure like life out
and freaking it's like I just blanked on his name
David Duchovny
yeah
his phone went off and it was the X-Files theme
But,
yeah,
and he's talking to freaking Skull, and he's like, well, I know what you're going to say.
But you're going to say this, but then I'll come back with, like, it was just, that's what I'm saying. Like, if you do, like, I'm not saying you have to do them all like that where they're that funny, but making, like, a standalone episode, like, kind of how, like, it was, I would say probably between, probably the middle or towards the end of season one. Like, they had,
sort of like what
they
had, used to
well, I was going
to
say, they had a story arc, but it wasn't really predominant until, like, maybe season two or three or something like that, but they were starting it. You know, in that season one, but they had a lot of there's just cases that they just went after and stuff like that. So, oh my God, actually, I just thought about that. So, if you think about it, so X-Files is back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you think about that Supernaturals is going on their last season. Now, I know they're on two different networks and stuff like that, but a fucking crossover. Fuck that. We won't get a crossover episode. Fucking crossover in a comic.
Oh my God.
I would love to see that. Oh my God. How is this not? Okay, first of all, there's probably a fanfic out there. What am I kidding? I'm like,
Go find the fanfic and send it to us.
No, not even that. I'm just thinking.
Send it to me. I want to see it. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just saying that. It's like, I'm like, I think I'm coming up with all these great ideas, but I'm pretty sure they're already out there. But I want to see those. I want to see like a comic book where they're doing, they'll do a crossover with X-Files and Supernatural. So that'd be amazing. But yeah, I think that's what would be kind of cool. Like, I mean, if you guys can build.
You know what I just thought of? It would just literally be like Sam and Scully like talking to each other and then Dean and Mulder like going off and doing their thing.
No, actually, it would be really funny because it would be Dean trying to hit on Scully the entire time.
Oh, my God, that's true. And then so then he's just like trying to. Yeah. And then basically the one kind of gets paired with the other one who's just like always annoyed at the other
person's
antics.
But it'd be great too because they'd be all like, it's like, oh, if it's like a, oh, that'd be great because they go back and forth. It's like, well, if it's a vampire, you use this. It'd be like, no, you don't use that. You use this. Like,
yeah.
Like a whole back and forth with the.
Oh, that would be great. right?
I swear to God, if next fucking year, like, they're like, oh, crossover with Supernatural and X-Files comic, I'm going to be like, send me some fucking money.
Yeah.
I'm not asking for much.
Just send us enough money to support this
podcast.
Just
send me enough money so I can quit my job.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's going to wrap up all the news and eerie news of the week. On the bright side, I was all like, I was about to say, I was like, I didn't have anything for the segment, but I'm like, this is actually a good thing. If I missed anybody, I apologize. Please let me know. But we did not have to worry about anybody in a who died, passed away this week. So that's a good thing.
Never thought we'd be celebrating that one.
Yeah, let's celebrate life for once on a death podcast. we are going to talk about the movie. The Zodiac came out in 2007. But before we go into that, we're going to do this right now. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. So if you haven't seen the film, probably about right now, towards the end of the show, this is what we're talking about. But before we talk about the actual movie, Anna is actually going to run through a little bit of the backstory of the Zodiac Killer. Give you guys a little bit of, like, some stuff. And if she has the knowledge or has researched the stuff, then we can talk about what was actually happened in the movie, actually happened in real life, or so on and so forth and stuff like that. But without further ado, Anna, give us the facts.
Okay, so it's, as far as I can tell, it looks like there are essentially 7 confirmed victims of the Zodiac Killer. There's lots of suspected ones. And this is where it gets kind of wonky, because the ones that are suspected, it could either be like a couple of them, the writer took credit for it, the writer of the letters, which is also, that's another thing. It's like the person who wrote the letters may or may not be the Zodiac Killer. But the Zodiac Killer essentially took credit for some victims that they can't really prove, because one of them that he took credit for, the person just completely disappeared, period. But basically, short version is, there was a couple that was shot on December 20th of 1968 on Lake Herman Road. Betty Lou Jensen and David Faraday.
Wow, that's kind of a cool name. David Faraday.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. they went out to a lover's lane. Around 11 p.m., their bodies were found by Stella Borges, who lived nearby. This was in Solano, in California. So the Solano County Sheriff's Department investigated the crime, but no leads developed. Utilizing available forensics data, Robert Graysmith, who is the author of the Zodiac book, postulated that another car pulled into the turnout just prior to 11 p.m. and parked beside the couple. The killer exited the second car, walked towards the Rambler, possibly ordering the couple out of the Rambler. This is the interesting part. Jensen, the male, appeared to have exited the car first, yet when, Jensen is the female. So she exited the car first, and then Faraday, the male, whenever he was halfway out, the killer shot Faraday, the male, in the head. The female started running away, but she was gunned down 28 feet from the car with 5 shots through her back.
Okay, now this was the first killing.
This is the first confirmed one.
Okay, because the one that they showed in the movie, that's the quote-unquote first one, none of that happened.
That one did happen, it just was the second confirmed one, which is July 4th of 1969, so about 7 months later. Darlene Farron and Michael Magot, possibly? Anyways.
He's dead now, no one cares.
He's the one that survived.
Oh, shit. Now he's listening to this podcast. He's like, fuck you. I'm coming for you, Steve.
And he's going to be like, you pronounced my name wrong, you fucking bitch.
Wow.
But they drove into Blue Rock Springs Park in Vallejo, California. While the couple was sitting in the female's car, a second car drove into the lot and parked alongside them, but almost immediately drove away. The car returned about 10 minutes later. And parked beside them. The driver approached the vehicle with a flashlight and a 9mm Luger. The killer directed the flashlight into Magot and Farron's eyes before shooting at them, firing 5 times. Both victims were hit. Several bullets passed through Magot and into Farron, the female. So, several bullets passed through the male and into the female, and yet he's the one that survived. So, Son of a bitch! That guy is seriously resilient.
Well, that's the thing. If the bullets pass through, they lost momentum and they got stuck in the female. So even if she could survive that, she has
if it passed through him, though, it might be like it would actually like hit more arteries. But possibly, it depends.
Yeah, I was just going to say how good the shot is or whatnot. I mean, like sometimes there's a story where it's like, man, this passed right through here and here and nearly missed your like this, you know, kind of thing. So it's like maybe he was just lucky.
Yeah.
Well, is that the pre-law, dude?
No, this is at the very beginning of the movie. Excuse me. So this is just before midnight that all this happened. The killer started to walk away from the car, but upon hearing Mago, the male, moaning, he returned and shot each victim twice before driving off.
Oh, shit.
On July 5th at 12:40 a.m., so less than an hour later, a man phoned the Vallejo Police Department to report and claim responsibility for the attack. The caller also took credit for the murders that happened about 6.5 to 7 months earlier, Jensen and Faraday. The police traced the call to a phone booth at a gas station at Springs Road in Tulumne, about 0.3 miles from Farron's home and only a few blocks from the police department. Farron was pronounced dead at the hospital. Mago survived the attack, despite being shot in the face, neck, and chest.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Not kidding.
Oh, my God. That's when I'm always like, oh, I'm going to come all over the face, neck, and chest. Oh, shit. Yes.
So he was actually shot in the face, neck, and chest.
I might have to send an email to Kevin Smith and be like, okay, is your face, neck, and chest thing from this? If not, holy shit, bro. And he would reply back with, I'm sorry, Kevin Smith doesn't have time for people like you. You piece of shit. Go yourself, you fucking.
So this
asshole.
Was in July, and in August is whenever the first letters that were sent out went to the Vallejo Times Herald, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner. The Chronicle, I think, is the only one that posted the cryptogram that he said the killer demanded that they be printed on each paper's front page, or he would cruise. C-R-U-S-E, so misspelled, all around all weekend killing lone people in the night and then move on to kill again until I end up with a dozen people over the weekend.
I just want to say, how do you have time for all this? Like, I barely can do all the stuff that I do, and I'm just like, that's what I'm saying. If you're a serial killer, you're thinking about serial killing, maybe try doing, like, a thing of time management and teaching people how they can do that, because you guys know how to do it all. That's
yeah, no kidding. It's like, instead of killing people, why not just teach time management?
Instead of killing people.
So, on August 7th, another letter was received at the San Francisco Examiner, with the salutation, Dear Editor, this is the Zodiac speaking. So, that was the first time that he actually referenced himself as the Zodiac. On August 8th, Donald and Betty Hardin of Salinas, California, cracked the 408 symbol cryptogram. So, there were 4 cryptograms that were sent in the totality of all this kind of stuff. Only the first one has actually been officially decoded. The other 3 have not... I think people have attempted to decode it, but I think that nothing has actually been... confirmed actually being decoded. Officially decoded, decoded by it.
I decoded it, but there's all these letters left over.
So that's just kind of like the short version of it. Essentially, he kept killing people, kept writing in and announcing details that only the killer would know. The writing that they had for the Zodiac Killer did not match any of their suspects. Arthur Lee Allen was suspected as the Zodiac Killer, and he was also named as the prime potential suspect by Robert Graysmith, who wrote the book Zodiac, simply based on circumstantial evidence, but obviously they didn't have anything enough to actually convict him or anything like that. They tried to do some DNA pulls from the stamps and the envelopes, but they weren't able to get a definitive. They basically said, we're ruling these specific suspects out, but they never really got a chance to, I mean, I feel like that one is probably kind of biased simply due to the fact that how many people handled those envelopes.
Yeah.
They were going to attempt to charge.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to chime in real quick with this. So I pulled up all the stuff for the Zodiac movie because we always give other people's reviews and then we give our reviews. But I pull it up and it's all like it has a Popeyes ad, but it's like location nearest, and I'm like, no, that's not the nearest one to where I'm at right now. Like you're directing me into a completely different area than I'm at. So that's a lie. I'm just going to say that. Okay, Popeyes is not a sponsor. If they want to become a sponsor, then they can
please
tell me.
Please do, because
then they can
I love your chicken.
They can tell me wherever the fuck I'm located. That's fine. Anyways, back to the.
But yeah, so so basically 1991, the Vallejo police served another search warrant at Allen's residence. 2 days after Allen's death in 1992, police served another warrant and seized property from Allen's residence. Arthur Lee Allen also owned and wore a Zodiac brand wristwatch with that symbol on it, and they were unable to find, at least according to the movie, they were unable to find any information or anything that matched, say, that symbol, that specific like circle with a cross through it with the symbol associated with the word Zodiac, other than a watch company that Arthur Lee Allen just happened to own.
Which, okay, I'm going to be honest with everybody. I didn't even know there was a watch company called Zodiac.
Me either.
Okay.
The other thing that they had that was partially circumstantial was just Arthur Lee Allen was a sex offender against like 12-year-old boys.
Ew.
So.
Ew.
So just due to that fact that he was kind of, and also, he owned the same type of boots.
Oh yeah, the navy style boots or something like that. Because it was something.
I think
like
it was Air Force style because it was like it's designed to walk on the wings of an aircraft.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. There we go. See and how much that.
No, you're good.
No, I was about to say, see how much I was paying attention to this movie.
Well, it was like that's one thing that I kind of picked up on because they were very specific about it. They basically said these shoes would only be issued to somebody in the military.
Makes sense.
Or if you bought it from a military surplus store, which they kept track of everyone who bought from there.
So I'm going to be honest with everybody. This movie, I was very, very upset the fact that Mark Ruffalo did not become the Hulk. Iron Man never suited up, and Jake Gyllenhaal never got bit by a radioactive spider. So that's all I have to say about the Zodiac movie. Good night, everybody. No, we're going to be doing a review. I'm not sure if Anna has any more things she would like to add to the show notes or the thingamabob. I don't even know what I'm talking about, kids. Sit, pop a squat with Uncle Steve. Let's talk a bit. Yeah. I don't know where I'm going with this, but yeah, we'll probably dive into the review. All right, so before we dive into the, we'll talk about our movie review and everything like that, and then before we give our review, 5 out of 5, whatever we decide what item or trinket that was in this movie that we like to add to our little flavor, we'd always like to give you the reviews of Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb. But yeah, so we'll talk about the movie. Now, I'll say this, the movie is a pretty long movie. It's about, 3 hours, 2 hours? Hold on.
I want to say it's like at least.
It says 157 minutes.
2.5 hours.
So about 2.5 hours. Now, I will say this. The movie starts off pretty good. Like right off the bat, you're getting into the murders, the newsroom, the characters, everything. Boom, boom, boom. Everything's happening pretty quickly. So I would say probably the first hour of that movie is pretty solid. Then it gets into the lull of 4 years later because they keep jumping the time frames, of course, when the Zodiac killer strike or sent a letter or so on and so forth.
That was one thing that bugged me because whenever they jump timelines or jump like the times, they don't tell you how long it's been. They just give you a random date and you just kind of have to figure it out in your head.
Yeah, it was only one time where they were just like 4 years later and you're like, oh, okay.
Yeah, which was nice because it was extremely specific. And then it was like, on this date and on this date. I'm like, I'm not writing this shit down.
So I will say this. Everybody's performance in this movie, is good.
Yeah.
It's really good. Everyone plays their characters to, you know, a pretty good point and stuff like that. I mean, you got Jake Gyllenhaal. I think anytime there's like, okay, we have a socially awkward human being in this this movie, either get Jake Gyllenhaal or Tobey Maguire. Or Topher Grace. Or there was another person that we threw into that mix. I was trying to remember because we were trying to remember who was in this. And someone said Tobey Maguire. It wasn't Jake Gyllenhaal yet. It was somebody before him that people...
That they just always throw whenever it's a...
Like, it's you could... Basically, you could guess a movie, and it's either one of those three people who are in it. Because they all, like... Oh, Elijah Woods.
I don't know if he's really that awkward, though.
Well, his eye... Yeah, Wilfer. He's fucking awkward in Wilfer. Yeah,
that's true. Well, his eyes are just creepy and under...
But, yeah, so that was, like, the three guesses. Either one of those three gentlemen were probably in that... In that film or whatnot. Mark Ruffalo is funny to actually see in this because he does like an accent.
Yeah, he does.
And he's very fucking skinny in this movie for a cop. And then you got Robert Downey. And this is funny. So Robert Downey Jr., how he looks in this movie is completely different from now how he looks because now he's basically Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And this movie came out in 2007. So Iron Man came out in 2008. So this is literally like I believe him coming back, I guess. I don't know. You read his...
this is the movie... Yeah, this is in 2007. And then he basically made his comeback in 2008 with Iron Man. And then 2009 or 2010 with Sherlock. But yeah, between the years of like 1990 something and 2007, he really... Like he was active, but it was just like random bit parts and just like random crap that you're just like, you're basically just doing this to get Coke money.
Again, Robert Downey Jr., amazing film. I'm probably going to buy this weekend, I think. I'm going to go to the Best Buy. Yes, Best Buy, kids. They're still around. It's not Circuit fucking City. I think I'm going to go pick up a copy of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. Robert Downey Jr. is in that, and it's just fucking good. Like I could, like I said, I could probably watch this guy literally be like, "Hey, I'm doing a movie where I just read every word from the dictionary."
You'd be like, "Done."
And I'm like, "In." I just like him. He's a cool guy, and I've never met the man or whatnot. I'm pretty sure if I did, I'd just be like, "Tony." He's like, "My name's Robert." What the fuck?
Well, every time he acts, it's like he doesn't. It's not just acting for him. Like he actually becomes the character. And, like, literally embodies the character. And I feel like
realized I have to come up with a handshake if I ever meet him. And then he'd be like, what the fuck is that? I'm like, because we're both juniors.
Oh.
And he'd be like, yeah, but I'm famous. I'll be like, shh. It's okay. Shh. And I'll be like, shh. You're being like my dad right now. always throwing my failures in my face. Robert, don't do that.
Happy Thanksgiving, bitch.
Yes.
Just walk off.
Just walk off. He's like, oh, he sent me a mixtape of Iron Man music. Kids,
I can work out to this.
This kid's fucking weird. I think I want him as the new Spider-Man. Move over, Jamal. No, I'm just kidding. movie in the beginning, very good. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad movie. I'm just saying there's a part in it where it kind of drops off, and I literally just lost interest.
Yeah, about an hour and a half, it's like a cliff drop.
It picked up a little bit when it's like he goes to that one guy's house, and that guy's like being like, if the guy wasn't the killer. Why the fuck would you do that?
Be super creepy.
Yeah, he literally was like very nice, very welcoming, like all these kinds of stuff, giving the kid like basically being very blunt with him, going like, I don't have it anymore. And then some of them, he's just like, oh, and then all of a sudden he's just like, oh, so-and-so never drew those. I drew those. And that's when everyone's like in the theater like, but then the thing, okay, this is the thing I said. I go, okay, he threw that out there. And you're like, okay, you can either pick up on it. Like we all know Jake Gyllenhaal's character was like, what the fuck? Kind of moment, but like he had every opportune moment where he was all like, yeah, come on down to the basement. I would have been like, fuck you.
Maybe the guy was still trying to be friendly. It was just like how you
I'm sorry
it.
I'm sorry how he fucking how he fucking says
I was
that
trying
like,
to find the positive
no here. There was no positive in that scene. The guy was positive until the point where he's like, no, so-and-so didn't draw those, I drew those. And he was just like, hey, I think I got an original copy down in the basement. I would have been like,
me to the basement.
I literally would have shut that fucking basement door, broke his fucking window because I know he fucking locked the door, which is fucking weird to begin with. And then fucking just ran. And instead, he's like, I'm going to go down to the basement. It's all like, come on. Tobey Maguire would have been like, no, spider senses are going fucking crazy. No, thank you. Elijah Woods would at least put on the ring and head it out.
Yeah, but as Jake Gyllenhaal, all I can do is just, you know, Sands of Time and shit.
And masturbate.
And Donnie Darko.
Yeah, he masturbated to Donnie Darko.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, when he's on the therapist's.
Oh, I forgot about that.
He's all
that.
Like.
I totally, of course you would remember that. Anyway,
fuck yeah, I remember that. Oh, bullshit. Okay, I'm sorry. If you've seen a movie and you saw someone's wang, tits, vagina, or somebody about to beat off, or masturbation, yeah, you fucking remember that. I literally could be like, I'm probably like Donnie Darko, probably, and I would say an hour and 15 minutes in the movie, that scene happens. I'm going to be so surprised if someone actually facts checked that and I'm right, because I haven't seen the movie in like years.
That's a good question.
So if I still remember that, that was a fucking significant scene in my fucking development, in development stage. I was like, fuck, you go to a therapist and jerk off? Fuck yeah. Mom, like, Dad, I need help. And they're like, yeah, I know, you're jerking off everywhere else.
I was going to say something I completely
forgot. Oh, sorry, Jake Gyllenhaal, masturbation.
Oh, I remember what I was talking about. Sorry.
Okay, don't lose it again. Go.
So it was just funny to me. Anyways, so I have heard theories that there are multiple killers. I've also heard theories that, well, my personal theory, at least, is that there was one person that was the murderer and one person that was writing the letters. And I feel like the person who was the murderer and the person who was writing the letters are actually like having conversations, and most likely the person who is doing the murders is like just mentally disturbed, and the person who's writing letters is just basically doing it for attention. So my thought process was the most likely culprits would be that the guy who originally made the posters and whatnot, the guy who used to work at the movie theater with Arthur Lee Allen, is the one who's writing the letters, and Arthur Lee Allen is actually the murderer. It's just he like still communicates with this guy, and this guy is the one who's writing the letters and basically like getting the attention.
Okay, so you're saying it's like a two-man job where one guy goes out and does all the murders
and the other person is getting the press attention.
And the other person is getting – that's actually – Okay, first off, I did not pick up on that. If this is a theory that's been out there and I've never seen it, but then again, I've never really researched the Zodiac killings, that's actually fucking a clever idea. You know, you have somebody else with a better vocabulary, better writing skills, just better linguistics, I guess, and stuff like that, to write all your stuff, and then you just go out and do the fucking killings.
Well, because that was the thing. It's like the guy, whoever was writing the Zodiac letters, like obviously didn't know how to spell and spelled things in odd ways. Like Christmas was Christ Mass with two S's at the end, which was a spelling error that Arthur Lee Allen made, which is not a common spelling error. But at the same time, like his writing did not match up with the letters that the Zodiac killer supposedly wrote. So that's why I think that it could have been a second person who was writing it and would just knew Arthur Lee Allen and knew like the weird spelling errors that he would make. So they made those spelling errors on purpose.
And it would make sense when the guy said, no, he didn't draw those. I drew those. Would make sense, because if you're an artist, you could kind of copy and mimic other people's handwriting.
Exactly.
And that was such a crucial thing in this movie.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so weird. I'm really curious how easy nowadays is it just to get a handwriting test? Because back then it seemed to be a fucking – like you couldn't do it.
Yeah.
They couldn't get like a legitimate copy. Like they went to so far as they got like an etching the guy did carved in like a desk tabletop or something like that.
Yeah. And even then they weren't even sure if it was like – like actually matching up with what, yeah, like the information or what.
So I'm very curious about that kind of stuff. I might just, I like how I said I'm curious where I'm like, hey, fuck, Google, it's right there. Just check it out. But it was just so weird that seemed to be like such a, like anything else, it's like fingerprinting, DNA testing, and which was very, very limited back then when the movies, because this takes place in what, the 70s or the 60s?
Late 60s,
okay. I'm so glad I was like that close instead of being like, was it the 30s?
Yeah, I think it went from the 60s into the 70s. So you were close on, you were right on.
Well, that's what I said. I wasn't sure if it was the 70s or the 60s in that time frame, even though it really kind of felt like the 80s for me
in
the movie. But what do I know? I was born in 1984. I didn't really develop until the 90s. So I can't really tell you anything that happened from 1984 back. So.
Nobody can tell you what happened from 1970 to 1980. They were all too fucking high. Anyways,
I was born in the wrong era. Kids. But that was such a like, I remember them as just like, well, you can't get it from us, blah blah blah. And then like you were saying, like the precincts, like the killings would be in so many different jurisdictions that, like, so you had at least, like, at least how they showed us three people who were involved in this investigation kind of thing. But it was like certain people had certain stuff, other people had other things,
and they were not willing.
And they were not willing to share. It's like so. And to me, it's like, okay, I get it. I understand, like, nailing this guy, getting, you know, a bonus, getting the recognition, all this kind of stuff and things like that. But to me, I'm like, isn't just getting a killer, like, to stop doing this would be, like, the main goal kind of thing?
Yeah, but at the same time, a lot of people are so obsessed
with their pride, like, I know.
Yeah, it's their pride that they don't want to let it go. But I think it's very interesting that it literally took, like, a third party, no pun intended, to go to the other three parties.
That's right, yeah.
And say, look, I am this is an outside source, and I'm interested in getting the information you have so I can compile it all into one.
Yeah, so it's very interesting. So, of course, like we said, we jumped around a bit. So, yeah, we get all the killings and the investigations going. You introduced to Mark Ruffalo's character, who's a cop, and then Robert Downey Jr.'s character, who is a writer for one of the papers out in Los Angeles. Is that where it takes
place? Yeah, he does the crime beat for the Chronicle.
The Chronicle or whatnot. And then Jake Gyllenhaal's character, he was actually a cartoonist, a drawer for the paper, and he kind of got involved because he's a very weird character.
I feel like he was probably slightly autistic in a way, to where he like his mental processes were slightly off, but he could still, like, pretty much function with normal society. That's, at a high
that
level
makes sense,
but not at, like, a
I'd be so pissed
level.
If Jake Gyllenhaal is just listening to this going, like, I was just being myself, fuck you, like. I'm not.
Hey,
fucking...
if Jake Gyllenhaal is listening to this podcast, I am not complaining. He can tell us to fuck off all he wants. As long as he's listening to the podcast, I don't care.
I love you, JJ.
JG. Close enough.
No, he's JJ to me.
Aww.
I'm dyslexic, so I spell it with a J.
Okay. Anyways, so autistic Jake Gyllenhaal.
So, yeah, so he gets involved in it. So, like, yeah, they're figuring stuff out. Then there's a hit on, like, Robert Downey Jr.'s character at one point, because he kind of slams the Zodiac Killer.
Well, yeah, because he said he had latent homosexual tendencies.
Uh-huh.
So, which also circumstantial evidence also relates to Arthur Lee Allen.
Yeah.
Since he was feeling up 12-year-old boys.
Yeah. So and then when it gets to the part where it's like no letters are really sent, the investigation just kind of goes cold, and then it's like 4 years later, and Robert Downey Jr.'s character is no longer working for the Chronicle. Jake Gyllenhaal's still there, but Jake is, like, obsessed with this.
Just this whole idea,
this whole
thing.
So he comes up with the plan of being like, well, you guys can't investigate it because it's an open case.
Yeah,
I should say it's an open case, basically. It's not a cold case. It just runs cold. But, yeah, it's an open case, so no one can really still ask any questions about it. There's all these kind of things about it.
Basically stagnated.
Yeah. So he comes up with the idea of, like, oh, I'm going to be writing a book about the Zodiac Killer, so I'm just basically getting facts.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like that. So he starts, like you said, you know, going to different detectives and stuff like that. He actually visits all the detectives that were involved in this case, because there's that one point where all those three detectives are in that room with Ray.
Yeah.
And Ray Lee, and it's like, no, Arthur Lee. I'm like, Ray.
Deborah, I killed a bunch of people.
I went with, what did you do, Ray?
Oh, you went with that one. I was like, Ray Romano is the Zodiac killer.
I don't want to do this, but I have to. If I don't kill you, my wife will.
Damn.
Hey, Ray.
Well, she is a bitch. Anyways.
My brother here. I sound like Kermit the Frog now. Ray Romano, you have to go up really high and sound annoying.
Kermit the Frog is, no, it's not easy being green, no. Yeah, no, I'm the Zodiac Killer.
We found the Zodiac Killer, mm-hmm, ladies and gentlemen.
Mm-hmm, yep, I went around and I shot men and women and then just hunted out women. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, that's me, yeah. Mm-hmm. I used to shoot them and go, yay! Mm-hmm.
I would assume that you were shooting the women because of Miss Piggy, because she's just such a fucking bitch.
No, I was actually shooting women because I was sick of them shoving their hands up my hole.
Oh, I didn't know your puppeteer was a female.
No,
so.
That's the problem. Everyone just kept shoving their, they all just wanted to get their hands inside Kermit.
Oh.
Yeah, I was violated.
Okay.
Yeah. Check out, Unfelt, the behind the scene talk with.
Unfelt? Sorry.
The behind the scenes look at the real crisis of the Muppets. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Dark, scary shit.
It's not easy being green.
It's not easy being green or
felt.
Or felt. Mm-hmm. A lot of raping went on. The fucking mouse tried to cover it up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm dying.
Oh, I've been dead for years.
On the inside or the outside?
Just inside. It's all hollow. Steve, you really need to take your creativity and do YouTube shit with it. Kermit, how do you feel with how do you feel about when your puppeteer is not with you? I feel pretty empty inside.
Pretty hollow.
Mm-hmm. Pretty hollow.
It's just a hollow existence
just
without him.
Just a hollow existence without people. Anyways, this is why the Muppet Show got canceled twice. Oh. I don't know where we're going with this.
Anyway,
people are probably like.
Zodiac killer, ladies and gentlemen.
People are sitting here going like, you know,
I could be doing something productive right now.
I have listened to you guys since day one.
And even I'm going, what the fuck?
And I don't know why I keep coming back. It's like I have this addiction. And
strange addiction.
This strange fucking addiction.
To shitty podcasts.
Mm-hmm. Shitty podcasts. But not with me. Mm-hmm. the doctor always asks me when I need a colonoscopy. He just, oh, you're good. Mm-hmm. No blast, no nothing. Anyway, so yeah, so
I'm sure you don't have any problems shitting either.
No, it just everything just falls right out of me.
Just shoots straight through you.
Shoots straight through me, straight out of me. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sorry.
It's all over the place. Anyways, for the Zodiac killer, yay. Uh-huh. Today's special word is Z, like Zodiac. So back to the fucking show. I haven't busted out a Kermit in a long time.
That was my favorite thing ever.
Busted a nut.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyways.
Waka waka. So anyways, back to the Zodiac thing. So the movie kind of dips at a certain point because it's like 4 years later. Jake Gyllenhaal's character's running around. Like, it's kind of cool, but it's also like we were talking about with that guy with the – he goes to this guy's house and the guy's like, no, so-and-so didn't draw the thing. I did. And it was just this whole fucking creepy mess of like, get the fuck out of there, Jake.
You know what I just realized?
What?
They should have done it in two separate movies. Like the Zodiac killings – and then him writing the book about it. I mean, probably no one would have watched the second one, but
You're getting into it territory right now.
Sort of, yeah. But I feel like it would have been better. And also, like, or if they had just cut out, like, half of the last part of the movie, it would have been fine. Because if they had, like, picked up the pace a bit.
I don't know. There's a lot of stuff. But anyways, yeah. So, I mean, like I said, it's not a bad movie, but there's definitely a lull. And then it does end, like, pretty, like, okay, so-and-so could have been the killer, but they're not sure because, like, a heart attack when they went to go arrest the guy, all these different things. But it was just kind of cool. But then I'm just very curious, how much money did that guy actually make for that book that he literally ended up just doing?
Oh, that's a good question. I can look that
I'm
up.
Very curious about that. But before we give our review, which we'll do a 5 out of 5 and everything like that, we will give you the reviews of the Rotten Tomatoes and the IMDb. So IMDb gave the Zodiac 7.7, which isn't bad, which is pretty much like, I'm like, all right, yeah, I can totally see that. Rotten Tomatoes gave it an 89%, fresh, got a fresh certify, and then you have, what's it called? Then you have the 77% of the audience liked it. Actually, I'm really curious now, because we just did it, oh, there it is, a couple of weeks ago, or last week, actually, I'm like, a couple of weeks ago. Oh, shit, oh.
Huh.
The rating dropped on Annabelle Creation.
Really?
Yeah, so I'm trying to remember. I'll have to go back and actually listen to last week's episode when it dropped. But, 76% of the audience liked it and 68% of the Rotten Tomatoes critics liked it. I thought it was higher.
It was
when we checked it, so kind of interesting. But yeah, so that's that. So we were going to give a 5 out of 5, and we always like to pick something from the movie. Like I was thinking, oh, Zodiac symbol, or there's a part in the movie where the guy's like, I'm going to throw your baby out the window and then murder you kind of thing. But I was going to do 5 flying babies, and then we came up with the drink that Jake Gyllenhaal's character Aqua Velva introduced to Robert Downey Jr. in the movie, which to me is like the funniest fucking scene in the movie, and it's all cuts. That's the stupidest part.
Like, it's two simple fucking cuts, and it's hilarious. So well done. Well done. But, yeah, so out of five, Aqua Velva mixed drinks. Anna,
yes.
What would you give Zodiac?
Well, on a side note, it looks like sales for the books was for the first book. I don't know. Apparently, he wrote Zodiac and Zodiac Unmasked.
Oh.
So I don't know if this is those two combined or if this is just the first one, but I'm seeing roughly $5.4 million. So
his wife was pissed that you left him now.
Probably. But actually, I'm curious really quickly. What was your favorite scene? Or did you have like a scene that either was your favorite or stood out to you besides the whole Aqua Velva?
I wasn't even going to touch that. I think the coolest, and it's not the coolest, probably the best scene in the movie and really kind of fucked up scene in the movie is basically the second couple.
Where
he comes walking on, and the woman's all like, it's like in daylight, and the woman's all like, oh, there's a guy coming over here. Oh, he's probably just taking a leak. And then he comes over, he's talking to them. The guy's like, here, you can have my keys and all this kind of stuff. Like, you think it's a robbery. He's going to let him go kind of thing. Even though, like, in our heads, we're like, no, that's the fucking Zodiac killer.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the whole just how long the scene was.
Yeah.
And then it gets to, just fucking stabbing. He's just stabbing. And you're just like, oh, my God. Like, it was such a big build. And honestly, you're watching this. You're kind of like, just fucking shoot them.
Yeah.
Like, you're at that point. Like, when you see that first scene
you
in the movie.
You just keep expecting it.
He shoots the two people, and you're kind of like, oh, fuck, what a way to go. And then, like, when he's dragging this out, you're kind of like, oh, just fucking murder them already. Like, not even, like, a bad way, just like. You're just like,
let them get it over.
Yeah, just let them die, because they're just like, it's like they're going to die anyways kind of thing. So that to me standed out the most. You?
For me, I think it was actually probably, and this was actually what happened, according to at least the police reports and stuff, was the scene where just in the police station at the very end of the movie, whenever the guy who got shot in the face, the neck, and the chest and lived goes in, and they show like five different pictures, and they're like, oh yeah, pick out the person if you see him that you think was like the murderer, they're the person who shot you.
Mm-hmm.
And he picks out the picture of Arthur Lee Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And says, I saw this face once before, and it's the face of the person who shot me. And just like how certain he was.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't say, I think this is him. He said, I saw this face once before, and it was the face of the man who shot me. Just, like, the certainty behind it. And, like, there was no hesitation, and he wasn't being led in any way. Like, he had never seen these pictures before. Like, that just really stuck out to me that, like...
He's like, is this wrapping up soon? Because I got to get to fucking Westworld.
Right? Yeah, he's like, I got to get to Westworld and, you know, bang the fuck out of Evan Rachel Wood, whatever the fuck her name is.
Is that her name?
Yeah. The blonde chick?
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. I just remember, I was trying to remember her name from the actual series. It was like Darla?
Deborah? No, Delilah.
Delilah. Is it Delilah?
Maybe. I don't remember. It starts with a D.
I don't know. Matthew's probably going to be like, what the fuck, man?
Fuck you. Let's be honest. He doesn't listen to this podcast.
Oh, no. You'd be surprised. He does.
Really?
He pops in and
Hi,
out.
Hi, Matthew.
He pops in and out of certain podcasts. I just know, Matthew knows me, and I know Matthew, and Matthew would just be like, he'd be very disappointed. Like, if this was an episode of Sass right now,
he'd be shaking his head.
He'd be shaking his head, and he'd have this.
Dolores. That was her name.
Oh, how did I not know that? The Delorium, Dolores, come on.
Ah. Anyways.
West. Anyways, but yeah, so that.
Creatures.
But yeah, so how many out of five Aqua Velvas, what would you give this movie, The Zodiac?
I would actually give it a 2.5 out of 5 Aqua Velvas.
Really?
So. Because it's simply based on the fact that, number one, it really didn't deviate from the story, like the true story, much, which was nice. The first
you gave it a 2.5 and you're like, well, it didn't deviate from the story, which is good. It's like, damn.
The first hour and a half was good. They really dragged it out at the end, though. Like, seriously, ridiculously bad. That's why I would have given it higher, but that's why it's as low as it is.
Ladies and gentlemen, this might be a first.
Okay.
I might have a higher rating than you.
I think once or twice you've had a higher rating than me.
It's very rare, though. It's very rare. I was going to give this to the movie because I did enjoy the movie. I just thought, like I said, when it hits that lull, it has a few pickups, but nothing major. But the movie still kept me interested, and I obviously finished it and didn't have to fast forward. All that kind of stuff. So I gave it a solid, like, 3. Like, okay. It's good, but it's not awesome. It's not amazing. I feel like it has something to do with – it's like I said, it has nothing to do with the actors in the movie. It has nothing to do with the director or anything. That just that I think to probably – they probably could have kept the same stuff, but maybe if they were doing so many time switches, yeah. Maybe they wanted to combine his investigation with in the same – so basically it would be like since you were flipping –
like do a flip back and
you were flipping
between.
Through time. So like when a murder happened, you show a little bit of like everything's going on at that time period and then you go now and you see him going like, okay.
Or like later on in life, like whenever he's actually
But if you filled it into everything, so then it could kind of end with, you know, like it's not so dull or anything. But yeah, I think a solid 3 out of 5 Blue Velvet. Aqua Velvet.
Yeah, and I gotta say the casting was phenomenal. Everyone did a phenomenal job. But again, it was the writing, it was directing, it was something. It did not. I recommend seeing this movie if you have a lot of patience.
Well, I said it's on Netflix. In fact, I only ended.
I wouldn't recommend spending money on it, but I would recommend seeing it.
I ended up watching it because Matthew recommended it. He was like, "Hey, watched Zodiac last night. It was actually pretty good." He's like, "It's long, but it was pretty good and stuff like that." I was like, "Okay." He did send me a link to another movie that we'll probably watch for next week. Okay. I will let everybody. Oh wait, actually, let me pull that up right now. Matthew, actually, again, have to give props out to my boy. Boy, bro, yo.
Thanks, bro.
He sent me a movie. It came out last year on Netflix. I didn't even hear about it, so this is how bad I am with everything. but he sent me this thing. It's called I Am the Pretty Thing That Lives in the House. It's a Netflix official movie, Netflix original, I should say, that came out. So we'll probably watch that for next week. So it's on Netflix. Go ahead and check it out if you have it, and then we'll have a review for that as well. But I think, yeah, that's going to wrap up this episode of Not Another B-Horrorcast. You guys know where to find us. Thank you all for listening, and I guess that's all I got. Anna, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
Nope.
All right. Well, I'm Steve-O.
And I'm Anna.
And?
Carpe Noctem.
This has been another fine production of the 4i Radio Network. For more great shows, check out www.4iradio.com.